Awesome. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we are welcomed into your presence, Lord, that at one time we were separated by a veil, but rather now, Lord, that's been torn, and you welcome us into your throne of grace. Lord, so in light of that, I pray that we will embrace that. We will embrace you, Lord, that we will welcome you with praise this morning, because, Lord, you are deserving. And I pray that our hearts will just understand that now, Lord, that you are a God who deserves to be worshipped. And it's a privilege for us to be even able to be in your presence worshiping you. So, Jesus, we love you this morning. We make that declaration. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be your sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let's sing that again. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Sing, let your breath come from heaven. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Sing, to you our hearts are open. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let our shout be your welcome. Your renown fill the skies. We are here for you. We are here for you. Oh, let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. Oh, we are here for you. So to you our hearts are open. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. To you our hearts are open. You our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are one desire. Surely you are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Oh, let it fall down. We're gonna sing, we welcome you with praise. Yeah, we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Be welcomed in this place. Be welcomed you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome you with praise. Oh, we welcome you. Oh, we welcome you. You know, as we sing that song, it's an amazing blessing if we really understand what's going on here, that God has invited us to worship him. And there's nothing greater than God. There's nothing greater than Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And so whatever's on your heart right now, whatever it is that might be distracting you, I just want to invite you guys right now that we have an honor and a privilege to fulfill the very thing that God has called us to do, which is to worship him. And that there's joy in worshiping God. Amen. Let's sing that chorus again. Oh, we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Yeah, we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you, Lord. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune thy heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for psalms of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I've fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. We're going to sing that again. Come thou fount of every blessing. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune thy heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, daily by thy help I call. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold child of God, here to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. To grace, sure to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind thy wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. I'm going to sing that last verse again. Let's just remember who God is and what he's done for us. That his grace draws us near to him, and it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind thy wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. And Lord, that is the deepest longing of our hearts. Lord, that we would be reunited with you, Lord. And you've done that by the interposed blood of Jesus. And we thank you so much, Lord, that you saved us. And God, that you desire an abundant life for us. And I just ask, God, that we will continue to remember and understand and grow in our knowledge of you, Lord, and that the knowledge that we grow in you will result in a worship that's deeper and more real and more rich. That our communion with you, Lord, that our fellowship with you will continue to grow. Lord, we love you. Did you guys see how big that moon was last night? It's pretty amazing, huh? I don't know about you guys, but I know that, like, when I see that, when I see it right behind Pike's Peak this morning, I just can't help but want to know more of the one who created that. There's a longing in our hearts to know God more and sing about him and sing to him this morning. I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. Beautiful. Ooh. Ooh. I see your power in the moon. Woodland is our emotion, and galaxies are bright. We are amazed in the light of the stars. It's all proclaiming who you are. You're beautiful. Sing that last verse again. It's amazing to think that God would die for us, huh? When we arrive at eternity's shore, where death is just a memory and tears are no more, we'll enter in as the wedding bells ring. Your bride will come together and we'll sing, you're beautiful. God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord, because you're worthy to be praised. Lord, that in the beauty of the stars and the beauty of this creation, Lord, we find a great and beautiful creator who is far more and exceedingly and above the beauty of his, even his creation. And the fact that you came down and died for us. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. I pray that you will bless Pastor Rich, that you will minister to him and through him this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's glad to see everybody here today and welcome you to the Ellicott campus. Hope you make this your home church, and we just enjoyed the pews getting bigger and larger and more people in them every week. So thank you for coming out to the church today. Let me get my spectacles down here. Okay. One thing not to forget next week, spring forward, right? So don't forget to do that next week, spring forward on your clock 1 hour to make sure that you can make it to church on time, okay? Always, as is in the handout, there's always volunteers needed. In particular, it talks about cleaning in the church. But obviously, we need volunteers all over the church. So please, if you're interested in doing so, please come and get with Pastor Rich or myself so that we can get you plugged into doing different things inside the church. Men of Calvary, the prayer breakfast is coming up next week. It's the second and fourth Saturday. We're having it next week, and there's going to be a lot of food there. So if nothing else, just come for the food, okay? And then we'll feed you that way, and then we'll feed you with the Spirit afterwards. Youth ministry. You'll notice there, they're meeting here, But if you'll notice in your bulletin that they're actually meeting in a different place, it's going to be the Calhoun Teen Center at 12 p.m. on March 11th. Okay, so just make sure you annotate that on your calendar and just remember that it is going to be in a different place, at least for that one particular day. Good Friday and Easter services are coming up as well. The biggest thing to remember about that is we will have a Good Friday service at 6:30, which is in your bulletin, and then we're going to have two services on that Sunday. And the one thing to remember about those is that it's going to be a family service. So what that means is there will be no child care for those so that we can bring everybody up for those services, okay? So just remember that. Adult Bible study is coming up in April. We had been talking about this. Pastor Rich had been talking about the Bible study. I keep on wanting to call it inductive Bible study. So that's kind of what it is. So, and again, Joe's going to be leading that up, and we've got enough people to say they want to participate in that. So that's going to be coming up, and it's in your bulletin, April 8th. And I believe, well, Joe, it's supposed to be 12:30 to 2:30, right? No, is it 2 to, like it says in the bulletin? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so it's supposed to be 12 to 2. And it'll be here at the church. We have two more books that you can get for a reduced price at $8.50. So if you're still interested in doing it and you want those books, you can get those. And then after that, it goes up to $15 a person for that book. Baby dedications in there as well. If you have a baby dedication that you would like to do, get with Samantha at the main campus, and we can get that scheduled. We also have contact information as well if you need anything here at the church. We have some personal invites, if I can get them out without dropping it. So we have some personal invites for the Easter service that we're going to be having, or services, I should say, that we're having on Friday and also on Sunday. Now, the only thing is now there's mailers going out, and those mailers will have our address on it, okay, whenever they go out. But we have a stack of these at the welcome desk there as you come in the front door so that you can grab a handful of these and hand them out in the community. The only thing is that you got to remember where we're at and tell them how to get here, okay, because there's no address on these, okay? So, but please, if you can, grab a stack of them or whatever, or, you know, a few of them and go around the community and, you know, and hand them out and make sure that folks come in for our Good Friday and Sunday services. We have Bibles in the back. We always want to make sure you guys understand that. If you come in and let's say you forget your Bible, or let's say this is your first time in church for a while and you don't have a Bible, then we have Bibles in the back for you to take home with you if you so choose to take it, okay? And matter of fact, if you're lucky, there's one back there that I almost took this morning, and it's got the large print in it. Yeah, right, they got the large print. So it's a large print Bible back in the back that's also there. It's been donated as well. So if you don't have a Bible or something like that, please grab one and, you know, get into the Word. So we have that. And then lastly, we do have the handout in our bulletins that pertains mostly to Ellicott. But don't remember to also look at what's going on at the main campus. And one of the big things that we want to talk about there is just the Men of Calvary Men's Retreat. Because you got to register online, and there's really starting to become sticklers with us out here about getting that done online. So please, if you go online to get that done and sign up, you can see there the deadline is April 22nd, and the actual retreat is Friday, and then it says May 4th, Sunday, and May 6th. And it's going to be at the Frontier Ranch in Buena Vista, Colorado. So please, if you're interested in doing that, it's always a good time, and it's always a good time for the men to get together as iron sharpens iron, right? So please, if you're interested in that, please do so. And please enjoy today's service. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. The men's retreat this year was the last thing that I organized myself for the men's ministry. So it's a big thing for me. And this year I decided to do things a little bit differently. It won't be our worship team. It'll be a different worship team there from one of the other Calvary chapels. Some of you might know them and know of them, as well as a different speaker. The speaker won't be from a local Calvary chapel, but from California, a California Calvary chapel, who used to live up in Aspen. and run a and be a pastor of a Calvary Chapel up there, but now is out in California. So I plan on being there for you ladies, as well as the guys who won't be able to go. We're going to have a great service here. We are going to do, this is the 70th anniversary of Israel to become a nation. And Joe Ford is one of our history buffs, and so he's going to present a message really surrounding Israel. And so I think it's something that you'll really enjoy and be a part of it. So please take advantage of those things. Last week I mentioned, something about the Holy Spirit and the reality of his work today. And Chuck Smith wrote an excellent book called Living Water. Matter of fact, in the men's ministry, we have about 30 guys going through it right now at the Central Campus. And I would just, if you have a desire to read things about the Holy Spirit, this is an excellent book, and I highly recommend it. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, not to Ephesians chapter 4, where we're going to finish up today, but to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And as I read some verses from 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to be thinking about the character traits of God. What are some of the character traits of God that you know of? And if you would have the courage to kind of raise your hand, we'll just kind of talk about them for a second. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 is a beautiful passage that talks about spiritual growth. And today's message, the end of Ephesians chapter 4, has a lot to do with that. It talks about really radical change. We're talking about true identity, and we get to a point in God's Word where he's very, very staunch about our lives need to change, and it needs to be radical, different than what the world offers. Our children were saved earlier in life, especially the girls. My son came to the Lord, as just a preteener, but they didn't think their lives changed very much. Well, they forget what they were like as children, naturally. They had a radical change in their lives. And so all of us, I don't care how moral you think you are, if you're outside of Christ today, and today you trust Christ as your Savior, he desires to bring a radical change in your life. And this talks about that footprint, if you would, of radical change. And this is Peter sharing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so I thought I'd look at Peter's before we look at Paul's, but how God so inspired these men to write something so magnificent for you and I today. Notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll start at verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power, his Spirit, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, his word, who has called us by glory and virtue." Now the question is whether we're going to believe that he has the power to radically change us from the inside out. Verse 4, "by which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, give all diligence." And that word diligence is a real effort. It is working. I don't know if any of you guys have dug post holes all day with post hole digger or crowbar, but that is a lot of work. And I have done that in helping plant a vineyard as well as on Diane's dairy farm. repairing fences and just all day long, boom. And in New York, they have rocky soil as well as clay. Oh, both are so much fun, you know. And so it is laborious. And that's what this word diligence means for you and I. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, agape, or love, God's love. Now, that's a building. And this particular word, add, in the Greek, in the classical Greek of its day, was a musical term. And so it was like being at and hearing an orchestra, and they would start maybe with the woodwinds, and then they would add some brass, and then they would add the percussion instruments, and just keep building and building and building until you get. And that is what this means. He has given you and I everything that pertains to life and godliness through the power of God, and you and I are to add to our lives. And we might do many of those things naturally, but he wants to revolutionize them in our lives for his glory and to continue to build them so that love becomes so real in our lives. And notice how it ends, how he ends it. For, verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said. So as you and I grow in these things, we grow in an understanding of God's word. And I just love God's word. I delight in God's word. I want to know more about God and through his word. By the way, Alex, last night, we saw the moon and we had to find a dark place. My wife wanted me to take some pictures of it, you know, and I've seen it dancing on top of Pikes Peak at times, and I'd take a picture of it and I'd send it to my kids back east. Ah, the moon is dancing. Isn't God's grace, you know, wonderful? Yeah, and to really capture that, want to grow in that. And to think that Galileo, who had all these beautiful scientific discoveries, was forced by the church to recant the fact that the earth revolves around the sun. You know, they tortured him until he recanted, you know, at the very end of his life. And yet it's a fact. We know it as a fact. He loved telescopes. He loved seeing how science and the word blends together because God is awesome. Yeah, and he created it all. And if he's created it all in a moment, which he has, then what can he do in your heart, my life? Can he add to our faith, our saving faith? Because we don't want to be barren. Notice what verse 9 says. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Ah. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. The same word back in verse 5. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will not stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter's thoughts, and as the Holy Spirit is guiding him, is saying life ought to be that which experiences a radical change for God's glory. And it's all based on the character of God. So thinking about the character of God, share with me some character traits, a singular one at a time, as you think of it with me this morning. Who would be the first to share? Yeah, Al, way in the back. Pardon? Creator. Absolutely. We could add to that omnipotent, all-powerful. Yeah. Yep. Who can stand beside? Thor.
He cannot lie.
He cannot lie, nor will he ever lie. That is awesome. Yeah. And so this book is true. It's built upon truth. All right, Fritz. All right, he is a God of love. Absolutely. He loves us unconditionally, and he wants us to walk with him in a profound way. All right, way back in the corner. All powerful again. Omnipotent. Very well. Yes. Joe? Faithful. Yeah, he is faithful. He cannot neglect himself. He is faithful. Counselor. He is the counselor, the mighty God, the counselor of everything. You and I can go to him in his word and hear something. Gosh, you ladies are a little shy this morning. I don't know if I'm Pat. Yeah.
Righteousness.
All right, he is filled with righteousness. And it's there's also a four-letter word that captures all of that. Shannon?
Long-suffering.
Aren't you glad? I am. With me, you know, so long-suffering because I was so slow to get it. Partly, I didn't think he really wanted to change me. Partly, I didn't think he was strong enough to change me. Partly because I thought that I wasn't worth anything anyways, even though I trusted him for salvation. But mostly because I was lazy. Just to think. Yeah, Julie.
Never changing.
Absolutely. He never, ever changes. Yes, and I don't know your name. Linda. Oh, wow. Omnipresent. All places, all time. He's here right now, and all of God's people said, no, amen. I thought I saw another hand over. Yeah, Roger.
Healing.
Pardon? Healer? Yeah, he is a healing God. Amy?
Joy.
Yeah. Joy and gladness and the wonder of it. Aren't you glad? And we're going to end there.
Love.
Yep. He is filled with love. The four-letter word I was thinking about is that he is holy. Holy. As a matter of fact, from my perspective, as I look at word, at God's word, I think that was probably the most dominant part of God. And that everything else, his grace, his mercy, his love, everything else flows out of that for us, his creation, and how it looks. And so we're going to be challenged today in Ephesians 4 as to what does it take to have this radical change. Matter of fact, this radical change, I'm convinced that those who are committed to a worthy walk of their calling will change because they're living in God's grace and holiness. Those of us who are committed to that worthy calling, that walk, lifestyle, understand that that radical change comes from living in his grace and holiness and allowing it to impact who we are inside out. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you again for your goodness to us. And as we look into your word today, and as we're challenged by this life that you call us to, that you admonish us to, that you encourage us to, might we truly understand you have given us everything that we need to fulfill it here. I know we'll never fulfill it perfectly. But it's something we ought to be striving for all the time because you are our God and we love you and you have given us salvation through your Son. And Father, we have by faith trusted that fact and we are your children. So I pray you'd bless us today, that you would pierce our hearts and encourage our hearts as only you can. Father, change us. For your glory and your glory alone. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. How many of you are old enough to remember an old sports show called the Worldwide of Sports? Yeah. Now, do you remember The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Yeah. Do you remember what they showed concerning the agony of defeat? Yeah, guy falls off a ski jump. Now, what people don't know is in the interview afterwards, and we have to trust this guy. This guy was a great ski jumper. And what they had done in this particular Winter Olympics is they had gone back to an old place, and they had a place that had hosted it before, and they tried to use the same ski jump that they had used like 20 years previous, and all the technology had changed. And so people were jumping higher and farther than they used to on the ski jump. And it just so happened that the weather ended up being a melting day and then a freezing day before the finals that were going on. And everybody was going great, but they were landing right near the very, very bottom of the sloped part, where is the only safe zone. If you land on the flat part, you're in big trouble. And he was booking down, and he was one of the best. They expected him to set a record, and he realized, he says, that he was going too fast. He knew if he nailed it, guess where he was going to land? His fear was he wasn't even going to land in the flat, but even potentially near the bales of hay barrier and just have tremendous. And so he bailed on purpose. He fell on purpose. That's what he declared afterwards. Well, why did he? Because he knew out there was destruction. And so as we look at radical change, some of us, and I know I personally was headed down a hill in life, making all the wrong choices, and if God hadn't got my attention, it would have ended up in destruction. And so rather than me having to take a fall, all I had to do was have my pride broken and be committed to him and allow him to work so that radical change could happen in my life. Radical change. Those who are committed to walking worthy so that radical change happens because we're living in God's grace and holiness. Follow along with me, starting with verse 7. The first part that I want us to see is learning how to not be hard-hearted, but to seek the heart of God. Not to be hard-hearted, but to seek the heart of God. Starting with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. He is using the contrast here of those who are lost and those who are still living in moral depravity, that futility of their mind. They are headed towards destruction, and they don't understand that. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, they didn't realize that they were headed for destruction. I didn't realize I was headed for destruction as an adult. I was just trying to survive. Often I tell people I'm a survivor. You know, I just didn't realize where I was booking to, though, was not going to be a good place. Yeah. Ultimately, that bad place would have been hell. You know, if I'd ignored everything and all the warning signs and everything that Christ put in my way, you know, and as I thought back, I was an adult as I trusted Christ as Savior, married with children, and if I had continued to ignore, but once I trusted Christ as Savior, I remembered something that happened back in my teens. I was about 17, I think. And one of the home caregivers that I used to live with invited us to church, and I think I was dating you at the time. So I was 17, and we went to church with them, and they had a guest speaker, and he was a blind pastor, and he had memorized the whole book, yeah? And so he was up there, and he taught that day. And for the first time in my life, as I remember back, I had heard thoughts about salvation. And that was the very reason why this family, Althea and Julian Jennings, had invited me. They used to go to a church that didn't preach the gospel, came to know the light. Now they knew that, and they knew that this Rich Bailey kid needed to know Christ because he was making bad choices. And so invited us. Now, what they did after church was they shut all the doors and blocked all the doors, so you had to walk through the doors past this guy. And everybody had to shake his hand as they were leaving. Now, isn't that terrible? So we're walking through now. Guess who wanted to escape? Woo-hoo. I had more important things to do. Now, I waited, and we walked through, and he stopped every single person as he grabbed their hand and shook their hand, and he wouldn't let go until they answered one question. And that question was, do you know Christ as Savior? Now, I'm this rotten redneck, and I just looked at him and said, yeah, right. He probably knew I was lying through my teeth. I'm convinced of it. Because he said, are you sure? Yeah, and I said, goodbye. God planted a seed that day, and I didn't know it. And I didn't understand it. But I began to understand later that there really was a God. At that point, I really doubted. We were the first school group to be confronted in our public school system with the thought of evolution. And that all made sense to me. Creation didn't. So God had to radically change my what? Thinking. Yeah. I was like these guys, blinded, totally with a depraved mind, vain, futile mind. Notice verse 19. Who in being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness or sensuality to work all uncleanness with greediness. That thought of greediness, it hasn't changed much, has it? as we consider this radical change from hard-hearted to the heart of God, it has to start inside here and here if the radical change is going to happen. We have to be committed to something else because our old past, and again, even as a child, that greediness is there. I mean, every child that I have raised says, mine. I don't know if yours did or not, but the thought of sharing something wasn't wired into them at all. It was mine. And they let you know, and they let the other person know. One of our daughters learned how to do something else because if you continued to tug on it, she became a biter. It's really mine. Arr! Let go. Which was a headache. Now, none of your kids probably ever did that, but. Yeah, and she loves the Lord today. Well, did a radical change happen in her life? Yeah, she doesn't say mine anymore, and she doesn't bite people anymore. So that's a good thing. But in our depraved state, in the darkened of our mind and our heart and hardened part of our heart, guess what? Those things are natural. That's the old man. And he wants us to understand that and to realize something else has happened. And so verse 20 is a profound statement. But you have not so learned Christ. In Christ, you will never learn those kinds of things. That's what he's saying. Christ will want to teach us and impact your life and my life in a completely different way. He wants to impact us not only from hard-hearted to the heart of God, but to move us from worldly thinking to godly thinking. He wants to teach us. We have to be teachable. We have to be committed. If indeed, verse 21, you and I have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in who? Jesus Christ, and in his word. He cannot lie. The truth is here. And so if we're going to move from worldly thinking to godly thinking, we have to listen to his word through the power of his spirit to allow it to impact who we are. Notice how it continues on. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Putting off the old man. Now, I shared with you about working on Diane's dairy farm and coming home one day after cleaning out calf pens all day and my daughter jumping up in my arms, and the first words out of her mouth were, "Oh, Daddy, you stink." Now, that was a true statement, you know. The question is, you know, Eric last night, he reminded all of us guys that at some point in our lives, we probably develop a favorite T-shirt, you know, and we probably got it somewhere around high school, and it's full of holes and everything, and yet we don't want to get rid of it because it's comfortable. And our wives say, come on, it's time, you know, it's time to get rid of it, you know. And that's true for many of us. Yeah? Gals, you kind of hang on to stuff too. I won't go down that line. But, yeah, and you know, it's way past and we need to. Well, the old man, putting off the old man, the world. And again, it doesn't matter what age, we need to get rid of the old and replace it with new. We can't just clean up on the outside without radically changing the inside. And God does the changing. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. And watching that happen to where our mind is truly set upon him, putting off those things that are contrary to all that he is, all of that former conduct, all that grows corrupt and deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ah, worldly thinking to godly thinking. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 12. You don't need to turn there, I will, but Romans chapter 12 in just the first couple of verses declares this. I beseech you, Paul says to the folks in Rome, that you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, his grace, his holiness, his love, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and don't be conformed or pressed into the mold of this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. It's throughout Scripture. If you and I are going to put off the old man, the only way we're going to replace it, not go running back to all of that junk, is if we replace it with that which is new, God's word. His standard. Yeah. Jesus Christ, in teaching the disciples about heaven, and he goes, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Isn't that a wonderful statement? And then he ends with this thought, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except what? Through me. That means, according to God's word, salvation is totally and completely only through Jesus Christ. And I know that is not the message that this world wants to hear today in being that narrow of thought. But whose standard is it? God's. And it will always be God's. Why did Christ have to come if there was any other way? If the love of God was going to just completely overrule everything without his holiness being a part of it, why did Christ have to come? It is only through him. It is only through his payment for your sin and my sin that you and I can have access to a holy God to where the veil, as Alex was talking about this morning, could be rent. It's the only way. I'm thankful that there's only one way, because I would have tried to figure out every other way. And I would have failed miserably if I thought I could do it on my own. My pride, my ego would have gotten the better of me, and I would have said, oh, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, not according to God's standard. Yeah. And the wonder of who he is. And so the changing of our thinking is so necessary in life. To understand the holiness of God, to truly grasp the love and the grace and the mercy of God and what that all means, the fact that he is omnipotent, the fact that he is omnipresent, the fact that he is omniscient, all-knowing, yeah, and the wonders of that. Rather than living in fear of his holiness in all of those things, you and I can live in joy, recognizing that those other things, those other character traits are so true, and that he magnifies it through Jesus Christ. And he just wants us to walk by faith and to enter into that and the wonders of salvation. You know, I love Fritz. Yeah, and you're going to have to be careful of him, me. He likes to walk around and say, share with me your testimony. He picked on my wife last night, you know, which is a great thing. Yeah, I like to hear people's testimony. The 3-minute version. Just saying. But to be able to share it, can you give your testimony in 3 minutes? And it makes sense, and it be all about what Christ has given you. I came to a point in my life when I realized I was a sinner separated from a holy God, and I realized I could do nothing about that. But through his word, I realized that God loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son, that if I believed in him, truly by faith trusted him, repented of my sins and trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was saved. And that day, I did exactly that. With a broken heart, I fell before a holy God and I asked him to forgive me and for Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And life began to radically change. I don't think that was 3 minutes. But that's the truth of what happened in Rich Bailey's life. And the wonder of what God has done the moment I began to commit myself to radical change. Not only the change from worldly thinking to godly thinking, but the real change from grieving the Spirit of God to rejoicing in the Spirit. Notice how it ends, verses 25 and following. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Lying. Isn't it so easy for lies to creep into our lives? You know, in our society and our culture says, oh, it's just a little white lie. I want you to know there's no such thing. It's not true. It's blacker than black. It is so wrong. It is so far removed from what God wants us, and he wants us to put it away, and it's so easy to fall into. How about the second one, verse 26? Be angry and do not sin. Now, how is that possible? Well, you learn that Christ did it, and it was a righteous thing. It wasn't a condemning thing. It was a righteous thing. My house is a house of prayer. And these money changers were in there selling doves. People would come with their doves, would come with their sheep to have them sacrificed. And, oh, that's not good enough. Here, buy one of mine. Trade in. Trade up. That's what they were doing. Yeah, they were ripping people off left and right. Greediness. Ah, there it is. And they were lying, and that's what these money changers were doing. And Christ had had enough. Whoop. This is my house. This is my house of prayer. This is meant to be filled with the Spirit of God and the holiness of God so that people could come in and worship me in spirit and truth. And you are destroying it all. Righteous indignation. You know, wanting that. Now, I had no idea how to be angry and not sin. Matter of fact, when we get to the thoughts on anger, I was number one. It says, verse 27, nor give place or opportunity to the devil. In my life, I gave opportunity and place for the devil so many times through my anger. Have any of you ever been kicked out of a class in school? Or am I the only one? We were reading, I think it was Macbeth, and I had to do one of the things. Now, reading at the time became very, very difficult for me. I hadn't learned phonics or any of those kinds of things. And so reading in school and reading in front of people, especially classmates, and especially reading archaic English, yeah, didn't work for me. And so we're sitting up in front of the room, and we're doing Macbeth. And she, my teacher, was constantly correcting me. And guess who's getting hot under the collar? Me. Now, I'm only in seventh or eighth grade, I forget which, and we're reading, and finally over the speaker says, it's time for the band members to leave for their band trip. Guess who booked? She realized I wasn't in band, but I left. So I'm confronted later on, guess who gets really stupid? Me. Well, so I'm out of the class. I gave opportunity for the devil. Now, I'm lost as lost could be, but it made sense to me now that I understand this, that you take one angry step and it turns into foolishness that is just so ugly, so bad, so quick. Let him who stole steal no more, or no longer, verse 28, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, with what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Wow, you talk about the radical change. Now think about that. You know, rather than stealing to meet your needs, get to work. You know, go ahead and go to work, earn a living to the point to where you can now help others who are in need. You might have to receive help yourself in the midst of that, but that's what God wants you to do. Yeah? That's what God calls us to do. You know, I, in considering myself a survivor, I would not think it would be inappropriate for me to flip burgers at a burger joint. You know, and come to think about it, McDonald's and them, they don't flip burgers anymore. They just put them in a microwave. If you think you're getting real flame broiled, it was flame broiled 2 days previous. I'm just kidding. Yeah, but, you know, that isn't beneath me if that's what it takes to provide for. The question is whether we're going to humble ourselves to take the job that's available to do what God wants to do in our lives to meet people's needs. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. In other words, that which builds up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Move ahead in your Bibles just a couple of pages to Philippians chapter 2. Notice how he shared it with the folks in Philippi. Philippians chapter 2. Starting with verse 1, he says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of his love, any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. How do we get there? Verse 3 and following. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. That's what he's saying there, that is necessary for the edification of the body. Therefore, things that I say and do within my home has to be for the nurture of my wife, the nurture of my children, now the nurture of my grandchildren, you know, and how that would work in our lives. Everything I do and say here, you know, and sometimes I have this weird sense of humor. I know that, and sometimes that can come across offensively. You know, and if that ever happens, please say, Pastor, what are you saying? That hurt. And I'll hear that. I don't mean to do it. At least I hope not. Yeah, and that just, I want to nurture people in their walk towards Christ or to coming to Christ, to where they would trust him as Lord and Savior. You know, there's got to be, 80, 85 of us here today, and to say that every one of us is saved is probably a foolish statement. Some of you still need to come trust Christ, Christ alone. Let that day be today, because it's his word. And start the great adventure of radical change that he will do in your heart and life as you passionately pursue him. You know, watch what he does. Notice what it goes on to say back in Ephesians 4. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I'm afraid I've caused God to cry more often than I'd like to think. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath is that explosion that happens. I would do that in a drop of a penny. Anger, that's the mood. That's the probably a lady's portion. You know, they'll just bury it and say, you know, nothing for you for 2 weeks. You're in the doghouse. And they won't say that, but I find myself in the doghouse. What did I do? You know, and it's that silent anger that is there. Clamor. That's just the yelling and screaming and evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice. And be the radical change. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Here's a biggie. Forgiving one another, even as God and Christ forgave you. You know, three times in Scripture, it talks about forgiveness and the need of it. In Psalms 66 or 68, verse 16 or 18, I always forget, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. In other words, if I walk willfully in sin and rebellion, God's not going to listen to my prayers. Ouch. In the model of prayer, Matthew, Gospel in chapter 6, we know it as Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It talks about forgiveness, and then he emphasizes this at the bottom. Matter of fact, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. Ow. And then for us guys in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it admonishes us to live with our wives with understanding. And if we refuse to do that, our prayers will be hindered. Ouch. I don't know about you, but I want to have a vibrant, powerful prayer life That means I've got to have my sins confessed. I need to be walking in forgiveness even though people might hurt me. And I need to be living with my wife God's way. Otherwise, I'm not going to have a very powerful prayer life. Kindness was a radical change that was needed in my life. I knew how to do kind things, but I never knew how to do tender-hearted kind things. Let me give you an illustration. And it's about me again. Our eldest daughter, who was here last week, some of you met her, she is through college. She's teaching in her second teaching gig. She taught down in Gallipolis, Ohio, which is right on the border, for a few years, and then she got a job in Denby, Virginia. Now, Denby, Virginia is right around all of the historical sites, historical Jamestown and all of those kinds of places, and that's where she's teaching. And the board told her that she had money. She's a history, high school history and geography teacher, and the board told her that she had money for field trips. And so she's teaching 11th and 12th graders, and she asks them if they would like to go on a field trip. Now, being teens, their eyes rolled in the back of their head. Oh, and words like this came out. Miss Bailey, we've been looking at those things in second grade. You know, every time we get a field trip, where do we go? Colonial Williamsburg. Where do we go? Jamestown. Oh, do we have to do it again? And so she began thinking and praying what she could do. And she heard that a local museum, a historical museum, was dedicating a wing to Christian art. So she went to the normal museum and picked out five things of historical value. And she came back and she asked the board, if I take them to the museum, is that okay? And they have to write a two-page paper on three of the things that they see here that contrasts with something in the Christian wing. Would you be all right with that? And they said yes. So she went and showed them the five things. Now, in her heart and mind, she chose not to go into the Christian wing until she saw new, afresh, with the children, with these young adults. So they walked into this wing, and they had a good time. I'm not going to leave it there. A couple weeks later, Diane and I went down to visit. And one of the kids came up to me and he said, "You made Miss Bailey cry." And I go, "What?" You know, and my daughter was standing next to me and she wasn't crying. And I go, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" "Well, at the museum." And I go, "Okay, I'm confused." When they walked in, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just back a few pages in your Bible. And start with verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one to the flesh, according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ," and only through Jesus Christ, "and has given to you and I the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As I walked through the doors, the very first thing that they were confronted with was a statue of about a six-foot guy standing on an 18-inch rock pile. And at the bottom it said, "Life built upon the rock." And above it was 2 Corinthians 5:17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. And it shows a man breaking out of the old life from the inside out. And my daughter began crying. And the kids wanted to know why. Why are you crying? And she says, that's my dad. Radical change had to happen in my life. She bought me a poster of it. And she showed it to me when we got home that day. And with honor, I put it up in my offices. And people would come in and, what in the world's that? So guess who got to share their testimony with a lot of people? I am sorry that my daughter had to see the ugly part of life in me. At my last church, they realized that they had made replicas. And they blessed me with a replica. And I know it looks kind of weird. And I also know that God isn't finished with me yet. I know there's a lot less of the old man there that's been put off. But I also know that there's still some. And God still wants to do a radical change in my life. But I'm willing to walk in this truth. I'm thankful that my kids recognize it. What a shame it would have been to face my Savior and not have any radical change. I don't know where you are today, and I know I've gone long. I'm going to ask Alex to cut the closing music to just one. But where are you? Have you entered into this great adventure of trusting Christ as Savior? Why don't you come, Alex, so we can close. It's a great adventure. I'm asking you today, just like that blind preacher asked me, are you saved? If not, why not trust him today? And maybe you're struggling. Maybe you don't think God is able. I want you to know, he is. He is so able to radically change us from the inside out. And we can walk worthily in his grace, love, and holiness. Let's stand. There will be a ministry team up here if you would like to come for prayer. Our Father and our God, I just thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you for the wonders of salvation. Thank you for the wonders of your grace, your mercy, your holiness and love. Lord, you know our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that we would just give all diligence to add to if we are in Christ. To be radically changed for your glory and your glory alone. That our lives would be committed to a life of reconciliation, truly being your ambassadors. That our lives would not be barren or unfruitful, but bring glory to you. Father, minister to the greatest needs of our heart this day through your riches and glory, through Christ our Lord, whose name I pray.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love.
We thank you and we praise you, Lord. God, that you've given us everything for life and godliness, that you've promised to free us from our sin, that the old man truly passes away, and that you make us a new creation in you. Lord, more and more, God, may we find our foundation in you. You are the cornerstone of our lives. We have nothing else. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.